Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards. Save big money
at Menards. A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant.
That's a G.
No, and George.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah!
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Carbach Brewing Company. Here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Broadcasting live inside the restaurant at Carbach Brewing. Paul Gallant, Joe George here with you until 3 o'clock. The Killer Bees will be here until 6. They already gave us a nice little Crawford box to start the day.
Oi!
Nice yes. And tasty.
It's very good.
Yeah, we'll be out here all day till 6 o'clock. Come on, visit us. It's a great place to watch March Madness. Obviously, on a day like today, you can't experience the best part of Carbach, which is the patio area, the outdoors, because it's awful outside, but a great outdoor viewing area. I've spent a ton of time here. I love coming to Carbach, so excited to be here today. They got some pub specials going on right now. Enjoy a burger and Bach, a free glass for just $20, March 20th to April 10th. In celebration of Bach Day, they're running $4 Bachs all month long. You can check out their fun series brews, only available in the pub and beer garden. And, Paul, we got you know, thinking like last night, getting ready for the show. What are we talking about today? Texans aren't doing much. You know, Astros. We got to hit on the big stuff. And then all of a sudden, Shohei Ohtani happens. And Shohei Ohtani's interpreter has been fired by the Los Angeles Dodgers because he apparently owed an illegal bookie $4.5 million. And it started off with a resignation, and then Shohei Ohtani's lawyers had to get involved. This is just the beginning, but this screams madhouse, all of it. And it reads like our first legitimate betting scandal in sports in a long time. Now, we don't know if betting on baseball is involved in this or if it's something else, but it's interesting to say the least.
Suspicious. That's from Fiddler on the Roof.
It is.
Great musical.
It is. It's a good musical.
People are staring at us already. Hell yeah. Let's go. Look. The guy, per what we're supposed to believe, took $4.5 million of Shohei Ohtani's money. Okay, sure. I guess I'm supposed to believe that because that's what we're being told. And in 2024, you don't ask questions. You believe what you're told. The Boeing guy killed himself. Jeffrey Epstein killed himself. Shohei Ohtani's interpreter stole $4.5 million from Shohei Ohtani. Sure. And, you know, I don't want to sound xenophobic like some other shows, but I've been watching Shogun. I've been watching Tokyo Vice. I feel like I know the ins and outs of Japan. And with the masculine urge to mansplain Japan that I have right now, whether it's samurai culture or yakuza culture, the idea that anyone would be able to illegally gamble $4.5 million worth of money that is on credit from somebody, that being allowed for a person like this, not a made man like Shohei Ohtani, who is remarkably private with everything he does, including the fact that, you know, he just got married and no one knew about it. There's a lot of suspicious stuff here. And I'm all here for it. I want to see the Los Angeles Dodgers deal with a public embarrassment on their hands in the same way that we, of course, saw the Houston Astros deal with back in 2017. Will it happen? I'm skeptical, Joe, but I love it.
Will it happen to that extent for the Dodgers? No. Will it happen to that extent for Shohei Ohtani? The answer might be yes, because, look, this is, regardless, this is a massive issue, right? You have really, like, I think three possible outcomes. And my guy, Jim Rodriguez, who works for BetUS, tweeted this out last night, so I don't want to take the full credit for this, but I very much agree with him. Otani is a degenerate gambler who is using a fall guy. B, he is the best friend on planet Earth, and he just cleared his degenerate gambler's friend's $4.5 million debt. Or three, the interpreter is maybe the scum of the earth and stole $4.5 million from Shohei Ohtani. But the facts are there are two wire transfers that ESPN themselves saw and confirmed that have Shohei Ohtani's name on it.
Uh-oh.
That sent $500,000 to a bank account. So even if he is just paying off this illegal gambling shark, then it's still an issue. Even if they're not betting on baseball, it's that amount of money is a huge, huge red flag for a game, specifically this game that has the all-time hits leader being left out of the Hall of Fame. Now you have the best player on planet Earth in almost any sport, Shohei Ohtani, being wrapped up in this.
That was pretty funny hearing John and Lance call Shohei Ohtani Shohei Rose, Pete Ohtani this morning. I mean, think about this, you know, the integrity of the game. Shohei Ohtani won two MVPs. How many times did the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, of California, of the United States of America, of North America, formerly of Pangea, of planet Earth, of the Milky Way galaxy, how many times did they have a winning record? Zero times.
That's true.
Pete Rose won three World Series. Now, a lot of people are going to say, Paul, that's a disingenuous argument, and it sure is, but you know what? We're keeping the same energy that Dodgers fans and Yankees fans had with the Astros in 2017.
Yep.
Pete Rose, three World Series. Shohei Ohtani, zero seasons above 500. Interesting.
And you want to talk about, like, is it possible for and we'll have a bigger conversation about this when we get to 2 o'clock, but you know, there's this point-shaving allegations that's been going around some college basketball teams recently because you're seeing these monumental line changes that are kind of startling in college basketball. And the fact that gambling's legal, it's hard to ignore. You have a former college football quarterback going on podcasts talking about how – I can't remember which SEC school he played for, but he's talking about how he was approached – I think it was Vanderbilt – approached by the Italian mob – in the last year, 2 years, about throwing games, about point shaving. So, like, all these things still are kind of out there. But the one player in professional or collegiate sports that can most easily change the outcome of a game, positively or negatively, is Shohei Ohtani. I think that's why it's an interesting conversation,
too.
He's on the mound, and he's hitting leadoff.
A guy who pitches and hits.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, now, maybe he's betting $4.5 million on the Astros to win the 2022 World Series. We'll see.
And we're just asking the question. Just the question. That's it. But I feel like you can ask the question, whether genuinely or disingenuously now, just given the way that questions were asked. The funny thing is, baseball's not going to investigate this. Baseball doesn't investigate anything unless they can tie it up with a neat little bow. But as brought up on the Twitch, a great point, what bookie is going to give an interpreter a $4 million mark? I brought up that a little bit earlier. You're not going to give somebody $4.5 million worth of credit. And maybe this guy fell into that kind of a debt and Shohei Ohtani had to bail him out. There's all sorts of things that you could possibly speculate on. But the idea of in Japan, where, again, based off of watching Tokyo Vice, things might be a little bit different. Things might be, from a cultural standpoint, different than they are here in the States. The idea of somebody getting $4.5 million to bet on anything that's not a high profile person like Shohei Ohtani seems like a stretch. It could be exactly as it's being portrayed to us. And this is a bit of reckless speculation. This is the best part about sports talk radio. We get to do it as long as we just end it with we're just asking the question.
Yep.
But this is, as I said before, suspicious. It is suspicious. You have to say it's suspicious. We can't just brush this to the side.
No. Well, and Jeff Passan was on the Pat McAfee show about a half hour ago. He said, you know, that Shohei and I think it's Ipe have not talked with federal authorities to this point. There's going to be that investigation. He says there is going to be an MLB investigation, because that was my first question, was would they just find a way to push this under the rug and get it out of the way? Because the first thing it honestly reminds me of is the Boston Red Sox. That the Boston Red Sox cheated, just like the Astros cheated, But the Red Sox and their ownership group and team and players pinned it on this one video guy.
Fall guy.
And it was all his – he was the fall guy. Who said that? Who said you got to have a fall guy? I can't remember who
said
that.
Chris Carter.
Well, Chris Carter said that. You got to have a fall guy. Well, this might be the fall guy. It's regardless, it's to me, it tells me two easy things. Shohei is a gambler and a degenerate, or he has terrible judgment. But you can't – it's hard to ignore the video going around from yesterday's MLB regular season game.
Everything seems fine.
They're chumming it up.
Everything seemed totally fine.
You're telling
fine.
Me Shohei Ohtani knew in that moment that he had $4.5 million stolen from him, and he's just chumming it up with his interpreter like that?
Maybe this entire time Shohei's interpreter has been saying things that have not been coming out of Shohei's mouth. Maybe Shohei's at the podium, and he's saying, this man is stealing millions of dollars from me. He is a crook. And then Shohei's interpreter says, yes, I'm very honored to play baseball here in the United States of America, especially for the Los Angeles Dodgers.
Yeah.
But I love all the speculation. I like it when Astros online fans come together.
And they did last
with
night.
With the pitchforks and torches. It's been a while since we have had a common enemy to really go after outside of Adolis Garcia, who gets the last laugh, and we all have to kind of shut up on that front. But to see everybody come together for a new Los Angeles Dodger enemy, it did bring warmth to my heart.
It did for me, too.
Bury me in the H.
Even though I will say, like, we're seeing it here on the text line, like, people rooting for a lifetime ban. I don't want that. I wish there was a way to punish the Dodgers. They won't be. It would be the Angels, if anything, obviously. I also don't want Shohei Ohtani banned from baseball.
Why not?
Because I do love Shohei Ohtani.
The integrity of the game is now in question.
It's always been in question.
Right, but now it's more in question.
I know. You still have steroid users in baseball today. This is not the only player doing this, I would imagine, or connection to a player.
Especially and that's where how easy gambling is now.
And that's why it's always such a semantics thing. Like, yeah, Calvin Ridley got suspended for a year for betting on parlays that involved the Atlanta Falcons. What is the difference between Calvin Ridley placing that bet, calling his buddy, and saying, hey, dude, Matt Ryan's not going to play today, so make sure you bet against the Falcons? Honestly, what's the difference? There is no difference. What's the difference between, frankly, if Chandler Rome or Brian McTaggart or Mark Vandermeer know that a Astros or Texans player is going to miss the game and it has not been yet reported by the team, what's the difference between those guys betting on the game then and a player betting on the game then? There is no difference. This is the world we live in now.
If you don't want Ohtani banned, would you settle for Pete Rose being reinstated?
Well, I'm always pro Pete Rose getting the Hall of Fame.
I am too. I mean, we both are, I think, on the same page as Barry Bonds should be in the Hall of Fame, Roger Clemens should be in the Hall of Fame, and Pete Rose should be in the Hall of Fame because they're three of the best players to play baseball ever.
Look, you're a scumbag sport. Like, there's really no other way to ignore it, okay?
Ty Cobb bragged about killing a guy in a book. Like, he's in the Hall?
Exactly. You've got Ty Cobb in the Hall of Fame. You have steroid users in the Hall of Fame, but you have some steroid users that are not. The biggest one that always pisses me off, Paul, is the fact that you have this clown show, Bud Selig, in the Major League in the Baseball Hall of Fame, the guy who oversaw everything. He oversaw the steroid use. He knew what was going on with Bonds and Sosa and McGuire. Everyone should be allowed in the Hall of Fame as long as they can admit what they did was wrong or that they did it. So, like, Sammy can't get in. Also not deserving. But Barry Bonds, if he admits to using steroids, let him in the Hall of Fame. Mark McGuire, if he admits to doing steroids, let him in the Hall of Fame. Pete Rose admitted to gambling. Let him in.
You don't want to let Sammy Sosa in?
He's not good enough.
He had over 700 home runs. He did the little hop step thing.
Look at the rest of his numbers.
And then one time he ran around Wrigley Field with an American flag.
That was a great day after 9/11.
Yeah.
But Sammy Sosa's numbers aren't good enough to be in the Hall of Fame, besides his home run numbers.
Besides the home runs. But the home runs, I know. He's a lot of home runs.
But, like, all the other numbers are not.
No, Sosa's in. We're putting Sosa in.
I don't know.
We're putting Rafael Palmeiro in.
No.
You know what? If you lied to Congress, you should get into the Hall of Fame. Because F Congress, right? F Congress.
Agreed.
You're in the Hall of Fame. They lie just as much to us. You're in. Why can't you?
Just let all the liars in.
Yeah.
So, like, that's why, like, yes.
We're all liars.
Pete Rose should be in. Ohtani should be maybe suspended, whatever. Honestly, it's so funny, though. How much of this does this remind you of the rumors that we would hear about MJ? That, like, he got suspended for 2 years and he went to go play baseball, but he was really suspended for a gambling addiction. Like, doesn't it kind of feel the same? Like, Ohtani, Jordan.
Am I wrong if I actually buy his story about going away. I'm not as much of a conspiracy theorist on that front. I'm not as much of a conspiracy theorist on that front. There's a part of me that thinks that he was bored with basketball.
Yeah.
And his father passed away, and I'm sure his dad wanted him to play baseball. The story is not that implausible. It's much more plausible than Shohei Ohtani's interpreter being allowed to have $4.5 million and then gamble those $4.5 million, and he being the only person involved in this situation, when it is very unlikely that anyone will allow someone who is not a celebrity to bet more than, like, $1 million, let alone $4.5 million. Maybe this is in totality or something like that, but that is more Michael Jordan actually going away because he wanted to play baseball is much more plausible than this Shohei Ohtani excuse that we're being given.
Yeah, I'm surprised you don't believe that Jordan won, because I honestly believe it. I do lean that way.
I think it's a fun rumor.
Yeah.
And since it's, you know, the 90s, I suppose it's a little bit more difficult to do digging.
That's true.
But I feel like at some point someone would have talked about it.
That's
by
true.
Now.
Well, the Shohei Ohtani story is not going to go away. It's going to be fascinating to follow, because this feels like a story that is going to constantly have some kind of legs on it until we get real honest answers from Ohtani, from the Dodgers, from Major League Baseball. So maybe we won't get an answer for a while, but at some point, we will. Now, if you were hoping the Houston Astros were going to add Michael Lorenzen to be a starter or a mid-relief guy when everyone got healthy, well, he's a Texas Ranger. We discuss that next year on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. It's Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Carbot Brewing Company. Here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Come visit us here all day at Carbot Brewing. We'll be here till 6 o'clock, located at the 610-290 Interchange in Spring Branch. Spring weather, perfect time to hang out outdoors, catch some Astros games, some, you know, maybe the Rockets make a play and push. You can catch all that stuff here at Carbot Brewing. Check out everything you need to know at carbotbrewing.com.
You're nursing that little flight.
I know.
There we go.
I know. I need to hop it.
Paul, two flights. Joe, one.
Well, see, here's the thing.
As they say in the Shorecrest Prep weight room.
When our guy comes back here, I'm going to probably order the heaviest beer I can possibly get.
Skin of a reason, stuff with a lie. What are you going to order?
Hoppadillo.
Rodeo Clown?
Hoppadillo.
You know what my favorite stuff is?
I do love Rodeo Clown, too.
Rodeo Clown is dangerous, but I believe, pound for pound, that the best beer made in Houston is Love Street, which now has four variants.
I like the blonde. It's very good.
The light or the blonde are very, very good.
Yeah, I love Love Street.
That is the beer that I generally get. If it's on draft anywhere, I will get Love Street.
Yeah, Love Street's great.
Fantastic.
My wife loves the ranch water from Carbox. She's all about that stuff.
Everyone's in the ranch water game now. Ranch water rules, though.
Ranch water is like the hot ticket item.
Have you gone back to Chicago and tried to explain to your friends what a ranch water is?
They have them there.
They do.
A lot of the local breweries there have kind of expanded into the ranch water game.
Last time I was up in Massachusetts, I had to explain to people what a ranch water was. It's a shame. When you go to the north, and if you go back to the northeast, I remember one time my dad picked me and my sister up from the airport because we were in town for a wedding, and we drove, and we're driving down the road, and my dad wants to go to a Mexican restaurant. And I was like, are you effing kidding me? I told him, no. I'm not doing this Yankee stuff. And I was like, hell yeah, first off. give me a sticker, participation sticker for being officially Houstonian. But the problem was then my dad took us to Applebee's, which is absolutely, you know, Applebee's. Sorry for any of the bees people out there, but I'm a chili boy for life.
Yes.
Chili's rules, Applebee's drools.
I don't even feel like Applebee's is really around anymore.
They exist.
I don't know when the last time I saw an Applebee's was. I feel like it's been a while.
It will be too soon for me.
For the next time you see him?
Oh, yeah. I would get in a gang war for Chili's.
All right, Michael Lorenzen signed a one-year, $4.5 million contract with the Rangers last night. This one bums me out.
Michael Lorenzen?
Because the contract's so cheap, and I would have liked to see the Astros bring in someone else.
Well, he's on the Rangers. I'll be honest. The fact that this guy felt that he had to throw for scouts doesn't make me feel like he was very wanted.
That's understandable.
And signing for $4.5 million makes me also feel like he wasn't that wanted. And the other thing is, too, I'll be honest, I had not heard of Michael Lorenzen until I saw that he was throwing with scouts watching. Yeah. I was like, oh, man, well, this guy, I guess he's an option for the Astros. But $4.5 million, clearly the Astros had no interest.
Yeah, zero interest, because they could have got him. So but at this point, they're done. They're not doing anything. Dana Brown said today when talking to the media that he's hoping to have his spring training roster set by Sunday. So we should know who will be the opening day roster by Monday when we get back on the show at noon next week. After the first four days of March Madness, it'll be baseball season. We got 7 days left until opening day. And this is it. This is the Astros opening day rotation. Framber Valdez is going to start opening day. Christian Javier, Hunter Brown, and then some combination of Ronel Blanco, Spencer Arrighetti, J.P. France will be your next two guys. Maybe your next three guys. Maybe they will go a six-man rotation to start the season and surprise us. But that's it. There's no surprises. There's no Jordan Montgomery coming. I'm done. I have no more hope. My hope is taken away.
Are you bummed out? You don't sound happy.
Jordan Montgomery's right there. He's sitting there.
He's on the table.
Take him. Someone sign him. Like someone bring him in. It should be the Astros.
I mean, I wouldn't mind it.
I still don't think Lance McCullers really pitches for this team this year.
How dare you?
I don't know when Jose Urquidy pitches for this team again.
Well, 10 to 15 days from now.
That's when he starts.
That's when he starts to ramp up.
To ramp up. Justin Verlander only threw 20 pitches.
You questioning a man who wants to be buried in the H disgusts me. Everyone hating on Lance McCullers. Lance McCullers is going to be comeback player of the year when he comes back.
I mean, he's been buried in the H. He doesn't want to be.
He's been buried. That is not cool, Joe. That is not cool. Joe, did you not see the Houston Sports Awards where he emceed and crushed?
He crushed.
I'm not being sarcastic here. I think Lance McCullers gets way too much hate. I really do.
I don't hate Lance McCullers. I love Lance McCullers.
Well, but people are like, oh, he's never going to pitch again. He will. I believe in that elbow.
I wish I could. I wish I could.
He could have my elbow for a nominal fee.
He could have my elbow for also a nominal fee.
How much? I
have $33,000 in student loan debt.
So you want $33,000
enough? I'll take 33 is enough.
Oh, come on. You got to go higher than that.
I know, but just get me out of student loan debt.
Fine. Well, damn it. I got to go lower than that. Well, listen.
Okay, you know, I'll
radio,
make.
Radio salary and whore of a man. I will take the nominal fee of $12,000.
Huh.
So almost a third of what Greedy Joe is asking for. Lance, you want it? I got it.
Lance, I
had the makings of a varsity athlete, unlike Tony Soprano.
Am I able to speak to Lance first about how much he can do with his elbow currently?
I guess, yeah.
I'm assuming Lance can still be like a full dad and pick up his kid and stuff.
Yeah,
so
he can have my elbow for $12,000. You're asking for $33,000.
I'll go to 10.
All right, let's just downbid it. Fine, fine. 9,999. Twist my arm.
I'm out. I'm out. It had to be five numbers.
Less.
I'm out. That's it. That's it. It's Paul's elbow. He's giving up. I'm not disappointed. I thought the Astros would make a splash move here in response. But the one thing I'll take away from this in a positive way is that whether he's wrong or right, at least in this moment, this to me means that Dana Brown and Joe Espada believe in those six guys to bridge the gap until people get healthy. Because if they didn't believe in J.P. France, Blanco, and Arrighetti to at least get you to Garcia and Verlander and McCullers' return, then I think they would be making a more urgent move right now.
How much of that belief is influenced by the budget? I would imagine a good amount of it is.
Probably a good amount.
Yeah, I mean, I get what you're saying. Like, yeah, you have to show confidence in these guys, but there's another element here where they probably are looking at their budget and the Josh Hader contract they just gave out. That's why they walked away from Blake Snell. Probably thinking about Alex Bregman as well. So you're also betting on yourself. It might not be the most dense confidence. It might be a little hollow.
Yeah. No, that's fair. And to your point, if budget's part of the issue, and Lorenzen only signed for $4.5 million, that clearly means that they did not have any interest in bringing him in. Because a $5 million contract to take Lorenzen away from the Rangers, that's easily doable. Like, that's not going to break the bank for the Astros. So they clearly just didn't want the player. And that was just a guy that we were looking at as someone that could fill the gap for this team. But do you feel okay with the rotation then, with where we're at?
I mean, I don't feel great about it, but yeah. I think that they can make it work. Really, a lot of this year is based off of not the depth of the rotation as much as it's Framber Valdez and Christian Javier can't suck. And regular season, I can tolerate some bad outings. Every starter's going to have them. But they, for the most part, let us down in the postseason. For the most part.
Javier
did have one good start, but for the most part, they were massive disappointments. And I feel like, you know, going into last year, even with Verlander gone, you're looking at the Astros rotation and you're like, damn, this is good.
Yeah.
Then all the injuries happen. You feel a little bit different. But on paper, throw help to the side, which is hard to do right now because of Verlander, Luis Garcia, Urquidy, and Lance McCullers. But throw it to the side. You're still at the top. Got some pretty good arms.
You are.
You still have enough offense that should score enough runs for you as well. And I think that the AL West, the Rangers, I'm curious about what a World Series hangover will be like for them. It's bound to happen. Maybe they get off to a slow start. The Mariners are a completely new team. The Angels just pressed reset. The A's do not matter.
Yep.
So I think you still have the advantage of being in the American League West. And on top of that, I think that you are going to be able to outscore people. That lineup, and I heard John Lance talking about this a couple of weeks ago. I'm with it. Like, that lineup on paper is top five.
Yes.
In some way, shape, or form. And they are going to have to actually carry their weight this year, where last year they didn't always do it, especially at home.
Yeah, going back to a conversation we had the other day about already looking way too far ahead of the trade deadline because Dana Brown has brought it up a couple times, I would retract my statement about them going after a left fielder at this point and would say when they make a trade this year, my guess is it will be for a rotational arm. Not a big name, you know, like not a Dylan Cease-level trade like we just saw happen between the White Sox and the Padres, but some kind of trade at the deadline for a starting pitcher to me now seems to be way more in play than going after a bat just because of where you are as a team. And there's obviously so much that could go wrong between now and then.
Do you think starter over reliever? Because remember last year, Dana Brown at the trade deadline said, yeah, our big acquisitions at the deadline are Jose Altuve and Yordan Alvarez. It was such an insufferable thing to say.
No, you're right.
Technically true. No. They're probably going to look at the starting rotation and say, well, Lance McCullers and Luis Garcia should be back in the weeks after the All-Star break.
Yeah.
After the trade deadline. And then I think that means that they're going to be – I think it's middle relief. They're probably going to look at their lineup and say, nope, we're good. Starting pitching, maybe if there's another injury, things change a little bit. But I think really middle relief, we talked about that the other day.
Yeah.
Even with the Astros not adding another starting arm, I think that's going to be the top thing that they look for because they don't want to have to pay a premium for somebody that's going to be here for a year, 2 years, or something like that.
No.
Kendall Graveman.
That's true. Yeah, it's going to be an interesting see. I'm ready for it to get here. I'm ready to see what Javier, to your point, and Framber are going to look like. But we'll see. All right. New segment alert. Good take, bad take.
Good
I'm going to give a
take.
And Paul, Sean, Brian, anyone here, text line, Twitchers. Twitchers don't count. You're going to tell me whatever I say is bad. So is it a good take? Is it a bad take? We'll do that next year on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Before that, I want to tell you guys about O Athletic. You can check them out, oathletic.com, just with a K at the end, or 767 North Shepherd Drive. It's a new gym that I'm going to. I got there this morning. Didn't get the workout I wanted to in because, I don't know, we were driving through a torrential downpour. So it took me a little bit longer to get there. But got a nice little workout in this morning. And everything that I love about this place so far is the personal training, the classes. They offer over 100 a week. And what's cool about this place, too, and the classes that they have is that they offer them all different times of the day. They open at 5 o'clock in the morning. Classes start shortly after. They have until about 9 o'clock in the morning, take a small break, and then typically when you get off work early, you can get there at 4 o'clock, get a workout in right away with one of their classes. They're open from 5 to 10 Monday through Friday, or Monday through Thursday, 5 to 9 on Fridays, 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. on Saturdays and Sundays. But all the classes, all the personal training, and just if you just want to work out by yourself too like I was doing today, that's there for you. You can check them out, oathletic.com or 767 North Shepherd Drive, and tell them Joe George from ESPN 97.5 sent you by.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Carbach Brewing Company.
Broadcasting live from Carbach Brewing here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We'll be here all day until 6 o'clock. You can find us on Twitter at Gallant Says, at Joe George Radio, at Sean A. Mapes. The tournament is underway. Michigan State up 43-29 over Mississippi State in the first game of the day. Duquesne.
Is that right? No, you got it. Duquesne.
Duquesne's up 11 seed. Duquesne up 38-30 over BYU. Big 12.
The Storm and Mormons. Damn.
Yeah, 38-30 at halftime. So get your Where's True TV tweets out there if you haven't had them yet. Check on your old people.
What about the Big 12 pride? BYU. Come on, guys.
I don't believe in that.
Figure it out.
I hate those people, Paul.
What?
I hate the
Mormons?
The SEC people.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
you apply too.
We're Cougs fans.
That's fine.
Big 12.
No.
Big 12.
Nope.
Big 12.
Nope. That's not okay.
Why isn't it okay?
You can't support it. You can't just support the conference.
It's
a loser mentality.
I agree. I actually do hate that. But I feel like the Big 12's got to represent, because the Big 12 is the premier college basketball conference.
It is. But so, what do you do about like Texas?
Hmm?
Do you support Texas then in this moment? Because they're only in the Big 12 for, you know, maybe one more day.
Some of my best friends went to Texas. Absolutely. Yeah.
But they might be an SEC team in the next 24 hours.
Yeah, but right now they're Big 12.
Yeah, for now.
They're still
for
Big now. 12. They're still Big 12 right now.
All right, so we're going to try this out. Good take, bad take. So I've got a take that I'm going to give to you guys, and we can discuss if it's – I often get accused of having bad takes, Paul.
Oh, yeah.
I do.
Really?
So I'm going to try to come up with extra spicy takes
that
I believe in and see if it's a good take or a bad take.
Okay.
So we're going to go to Paul's favorite subject today.
What's that?
Fantasy football.
Oh, Jesus. It's already a bad take.
The Houston Texans will have three players in the top 10 – and points in fantasy football this year at their position.
Three players?
C.J. Stroud, Joe Mixon, and Tank Dell will all finish top 10 in fantasy football this year in points.
No.
What's wrong with that?
Bad take.
What's wrong with that?
It's a bad take, Joe.
Yeah.
What's wrong with that?
Yeah, B-Mac. Dell over Nico, number one, question mark. Joe Mixon, I don't know about that.
He was top 10 last year in fantasy, I believe.
He was top 10 last year.
So Joe Mixon's there?
The Texans clearly believe he can be top 10.
I never even talked to you about the contract. That was out that day when it happened.
They gave him a contract.
Don't love it.
You don't love it.
I don't love it. I get why
Running
they did
backs
it.
Age gracefully.
But that contract surprised me. I thought this was a straight up trade for a rental. See how it goes. Maybe
That's
you bring him back.
Too. That's what I
there was
too.
There was a tweet from the 3013, that Twitter account, and they ranked the Joe Mixon contract extension as the biggest overpay of the offseason.
Oh, well, that's fun.
Awesome.
Spoiler alert for Killer Bees later today.
The Houston Texans care about their players.
Yeah. So Joe Mixon finishes top 10 in fantasy. I feel pretty confident about that one.
I think that's the best one you have.
You don't think C.J. Stroud's easily top 5?
No, because he's not a runner. You know how fantasy football works.
I mean, Daniel Jones has been top 5,
right,
I think,
Justin
before.
Fields
well,
is not
top 10.
Yeah, but if you're not a runner, it's not locked to be top 10. That's the problem.
That's fair.
If you're a pocket passer, you have to have the 30 plus touchdown season to crack that high in fantasy football.
And as a noted bandwagoner and front runner, I have been considering converting religion from Tom Bradyism to C.J. Stroudism.
Yeah,
so I will say Stroud top 10, sure. But Tank Dell, I don't know.
Yeah, you picked the wrong wide receiver.
There's too many wide receivers. Nico Collins, I just love
Tank Dell.
Nico Collins even is going to be difficult to get in for him. Mixon, I'll allow it. I feel like there's going to be some rando running backs, though, that are younger that perhaps like push him further down that list as overall points go.
Yeah, that I understand. I do with Mixon, the question will really be about how much they throw to him. Because that was something so clearly lacking last year in the Texans' offense. They didn't really have that security blanket at times, especially when they were running Pierce out there. Like, CJ had no one to dump it off to, because maybe he just knows Damian Pierce can't catch. Maybe that's what his concerns were.
CJ
is also pretty aggressive with the way he throws the ball down the field. But having that security blanket with Mixon this year, I expect him to catch the ball a good amount in the backfield. So I feel good about that one. I feel good about C.J. Stroud. Like, when you look at the top 10 last year, there were Baker Mayfield was in there at one point. Okay? Now, not every
you
week.
You know what? Fair point.
He did have 30-plus touchdowns, right?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, and that's what C.J. would have to do to crack the top 10. I think I like your Mixon point the best simply because there's no challenger to his touches, right? I mean, Damian Pierce, we saw second half of last season, finish games with one or two carries for the entire game. And that happened for weeks on end. So Mixon's going to get all the receptions out of the backfield. He's going to get all the goal line carries. Plus, he's going to get all the work between the 20s. I like the Mixon pick a lot.
Now, Sean, I know you and Dell were discussing earlier about how much attention you're going to be paying to the show today. So you got is this a good take or bad take from you?
Good take. Good take, Joe. Love it. Keep it up.
Why do you think that, Sean?
You know, the craftsmanship, the elegance in which it was delivered. I heard something about elegance.
The fact that we've spent 5 minutes on fantasy football.
Don't love that.
Yeah, I didn't want to do just like touchdown meters. I heard, that's boring.
I heard Joe Mixon was involved. I don't know. Can I say I don't know?
You're warm.
That's fine.
Can I throw someone under the bus?
Do it.
I'm working on audio for the Killer Bees right now.
Ooh.
Oh, get out of here.
Someone assigned me homework.
Team player.
Who do you think that was?
I don't know. Guess their producer's too busy
slurping
down Carbach love streets.
Damn.
6927 says Nico Mixon Schultz. That might be a better list.
Schultz is a top 10 tight end.
Yeah, fantasy's not hard to be a top 10, like fantasy tight end. It's not. He's a top 10. The tight end position just in general in the NFL is not that good. That's why I like the Schultz deal.
You got to draft one early,
big
usually.
Big picture, because when you look at, like, the alternative options for the Texans this offseason, it wasn't great.
Yeah.
And, like, I didn't want to pay Hunter Henry.
No.
Hard pass.
Yeah.
Mike Gesicki? Nope.
No, these are all, like, guys that the Patriots let walk because they didn't work.
Exactly. Yeah. Maybe that's also why I didn't want them.
It's a good reason. Yeah. They spent a lot of money. Jonnu Smith also.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Did they sign him or?
Yeah, they signed him.
That's right.
They spent a ton of money on Jonnu Smith and Hunter Henry. That worked out great.
Yeah, it did. You know what? Sometimes you got to invest in the tight end position.
Paul. Yeah, I'd rather do it with, guys like Aaron Hernandez and Rob Gronkowski.
Oh yeah, so what do you think of all the pushback from this dynasty stuff? They're pushing back. The players are pushing back pretty
all
hard.
Of it. Bad take because it was a bad documentary. It's slanted. It's the greatest sports run in American history, and the entire thing is about how Belichick's an idiot. 6 Super Bowl wins, 9 Super Bowl appearances. 2 of those Super Bowls, they were very close. 3 of those Super Bowls, they were very close to winning that they lost. And yet the whole thing is about, like, oh, Bill Belichick was mean. And it makes Robert Kraft, who is a noted cheapskate, look like he was the one behind all of it. Like it was his watch that made this happen.
It's very clearly his document. I started watching it.
Because
I wasn't interested. And then I watched the Rodney Harrison clip where he said he sat down for 6 hours and they basically took, like, what, 3 words?
I watched the first 3 episodes. They skipped over 2 Super Bowls and a 21-game winning streak. I get it. Like, you want to talk about the controversies, but you can't just skip over the winning like you did. I mean, the Bulls thing, whatever the hell it was called, Last Dance.
Yeah.
They showed all the runs to a championship for Michael Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
And they showed, like, the things that they overcame. And with this one, it's just like, oh, controversy. Like, F off.
Yeah, this one seems like a total disaster. So I watched the first episode, and then
out
of intrigue, and then now I'm out. I'm out again.
Totally out.
I got no interest. All right.
More bad takes?
No, it's just one.
Just one.
Yeah, we'll try to do one.
Okay,
that way
one?
I can try to craft it a little bit more next time, come up with a bigger take.
Maybe Sean will listen this time, yeah?
It's all right. I know Sean's busy. He's watching.
I don't know that he's busy.
He's watching Akron and Creighton duke it out in March Madness.
Guys, please,
by the way, Paul did not fill out his bracket.
Yeah, the Akron Zips. Watch. Well, but, yeah, that's it's an interesting team nickname.
Is it?
Yeah, it's an interesting team nickname.
Can you educate me?
People shouldn't say that word in 2024.
Okay, good to know. Good thing you just said it. All right, East Paul, I'm Joe George. Coming up next, Texans Cinder. They brought in a new corner today, potentially. We'll discuss that next year on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
First, let me tell you about my friends at MyBookie, mybookie.ag. You enter promo code BET975 if you want to bet on anything, anytime, anywhere, especially March Madness. And guess what? Up to $1,000, they will match your first deposit, and you get to play with it instantly. MyBookie.ag is a very, very awesome website because it's not just that you can bet on things like, you know, blackjack or poker from the comfort of your home with a live dealer. You can also bet on all of the madness that's taking place right now. Didn't Paulie give you a little bit of money a couple days ago when he was saying, hey, Virginia, they stink. Just hammer Colorado State. Well, you can bet on other games here. I don't know. How about let's take a look at the game between North Carolina and Wagner. Wagner in the tournament for the first time. North Carolina, 25.5 point favorites. Do we really think the ACC is that good? Wagner, baby. Cover. Cover. You can bet on all sorts of things at mybookie.ag. Promo code BET975. Maybe you want to bet against Texas. 3-point favorites against Colorado State in a game that tips off later tonight. MyBookie.ag, promo code BET975. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only with MyBookie.ag, promo code BET975.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
It's football time in Houston. Are you Texans worthy? It's time for Texans Free Agency Tinder.
If you like her, you swipe right. If you don't like, you swipe left.
Oh, it's like a game. I like this.
All right, Texans Tinder, coming to you live from Carbach Brewing on Gallatin, George on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I feel like we've been a little too, how would you describe our swiping? Are we swiping too heavy right now?
I've been choosy.
I don't know.
This is why my mother always tells me you're running out of options.
Because you're too choosy?
Too picky.
Is that really what she tells you?
Yeah.
Because you're too choosy and you're running out?
She thinks I should be looking for a nice woman, and instead I'm looking for some hot, crazy person.
I mean, you'll be fine.
Maybe.
It's okay.
Maybe not.
You're at the age where, like, the market starts to open up again.
That is true.
Because people are starting to get divorced.
I get the second time around.
Yeah, so, like,
I don't judge. I don't care.
Yeah, your market's about to get strong again. Like, you're in a good spot here.
Theoretically, we'll see.
You missed the dead times, it seems. So the Texans brought in C.J. Henderson today.
Hell yeah.
For a workout. No guarantee they'll sign him. But so this is – C.J. Henderson was drafted 9th overall by the Jacksonville Jaguars in 2020. So they brought in Jeffrey Okuda and signed him, who was the 3rd overall pick in 2020. And then now they've brought in Henderson for a tryout, who was the 9th overall pick, a player who played in like 8 games last year, but then was really benched most of last season. It's another low-risk move if they want to do it.
3 career interceptions. Former top 10 pick.
Yeah, it's not a lot.
I mean, you bring him in, you probably don't have to pay him much, and there's high upside, but this is the second guy that you would have on your roster who has been on 3 teams.
Yeah.
The Texans being the 3rd team. So I think I can do better than this. Conceptually, if we're talking about it, like from me looking on one of these little swipe apps and stuff, you know, I'd see the first round pedigree. It's like they went to a good school. And then, by the way, he did go to a good school, Florida. Chomp, chomp, go Gator. But at the same, and I look at, you know, the fact that this was a first round pick, so that means like he's certainly attractive to the general managers out there who are looking to find some bargain out there.
Mm-hmm.
But nah, I'm swiping left. I feel like you can do better than this. I'd rather bring back Steven Nelson.
Yeah, me too. I'm a no on Henderson. You've already got your high risk or low risk, high reward guy in Okuda. Get something more solid in there. Like go get a guy in Steven Nelson or another veteran cornerback, guys we brought up like Stephon Gilmore, that you know what they are. And then if you want to draft someone, go for it. We'll see how that works out. I can't imagine though they're going to start the season with the idea that a rookie cornerback is going to start on the opposite side of Derek Stingley Jr.
Doesn't make me feel confident.
Yeah.
I mean, hey, maybe it works out great, but odds are for Okuda or for C.J. Henderson, it's not going to be one of these guys works out. Odds are they're both not going to work out, and you're going to have just thrown away money.
Yeah, it's I don't love what they're doing at the cornerback position. I feel better about the defensive line than the cornerback spot.
Well, they have so many defensive linemen now. They added they added Derek Barnett. You take a look at the defensive linemen they have on the roster. It's like 10 plus guys right now.
Yeah.
Mostly defensive ends.
I'm curious who's going to be the guys that move inside. I know Autry's got to be one of them.
I suppose you could move all of them inside. Like, I'll be honest. You know, the ins and outs of defensive line play are above my pay grade. But I would like some big dudes in there. I want all hog molly.
They look like they're going track meet.
Like, tall, tall, but right. No one has cultivated mass.
Yeah, they're not going for the big giant Haloti Ngata style player.
No, they're not looking
in
for
the middle of the field.
The Carbach, rodeo clown beer gut guys.
Mm. Usually a large gut, I will say.
IPAs will give you a gut.
That's why I have one. Stuff. That's why I have to go to the gym now. It's because I love IPAs.
I like how now you're in this mode. This is good.
Yeah,
this is good.
I know. Well, I'm even calorie count, Paul.
Being an IPA guy though can be insufferable.
It is.
Yeah. What kind of IPA?
I just order whatever's on the menu. Like if I go somewhere and I don't know what the IPAs are, and like let's say it's what's the restaurant? BJ's. Like they have like their own. You've never been there before?
You could have been making that up, I'm sure.
You've never been there before?
Never heard of it.
It's a real
BJ's
place.
BJ's is real?
Yeah.
What is it?
It's kind of like here. Like it's like it's more restaurant based.
Yeah, it's more restaurant based because they don't have like their they have their own beer, but they're not distributing it nationwide.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like it's just American eatery.
Yeah, they're famous
pizza, burgers, beers.
Okay. Yeah. They're famous for they call it a pazookie.
Yeah, it's a cookie with ice cream, like a giant like cookie skillet with ice cream on it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which Carbach has as well.
So BJ's offers food, they offer beer, they offer anything else?
The drinks you would like.
Okay.
Soft boy drinks.
Interesting. You know what? Did you know I was a BJ major? Broadcast journalism?
I did know that.
Do they offer broadcast journalism degrees?
I mean, it's probably worth the same.
No, just communications.
Yeah.
They changed their degree to broadcast and digital journalism my senior year. I wonder why.
Oh, because of people like you? They're like, this Paul guy, we can't.
Well, yeah, because I kept on confused. People kept on getting confused with BJ's, the restaurant. Now I understand.
Yeah. Now you understand.
Now I understand why everyone gave me a side eye when I proudly talked about how I'm a BJ major.
Where are you at with the need to add an interior offensive lineman? I'm not going to give you a name as we do Texans Tinder, and so we can pretend.
It doesn't feel like it's happening. I do want them to get one, but it does not feel like they're bringing in a veteran because, you know, hey, all right, maybe you got to roll the dice on Kenyon Green and see what happens. But I'm not really feeling it.
Yeah, I don't love what happened today. Josh Jones is gone, and you gave up a fifth and a seventh round pick for him last year. So I was kind of assuming that was a player that the Texans would try to bring back. Mm-hmm. So he signed a deal with the Baltimore Ravens. Look, he started the last three games of you for you for the Texans at tackle and guard. I don't love giving up draft capital and then letting a player walk in free agency. Just philosophically, like I know it's a fifth and a seventh, but
theoretically, I don't know exactly how it's going to play out at the end because they don't ever share the compensatory pick formula with us. But it does feel like there's a chance Texas could get some compensatory picks with all the free agents that they have and all the guys that they're letting walk.
Yeah, I would imagine they'll get one for Bernard
too. Yeah, I would think so.
I
don't know how it works either, though. But they're probably thinking about it from that perspective. You let somebody walk, you're hoping you get something back eventually in return.
Yeah, the only compensatory pick formula I understand is the new. Like the fact that the 49ers have all these extra third-round picks because of D'Amico Ryans. If you have a minority coach or a minority front office member that gets a head coaching job or a general manager job somewhere else,
oh, yeah, I forgot
you
about
get third-round picks.
Hell yeah.
The 49ers got three third-round picks this year, I think it is, for D'Amico Ryans, a GM, and then one of their low-level coordinators became an OC somewhere. So I think they got all of that.
Why don't the Texans should get that.
Well, someone has to leave their staff first.
Oh, okay. Well, I thought so. You don't get first round picks for hiring minority
coaches?
No. Because the Texans have hired three in a row.
No, third round picks. You only get it if they get hired somewhere else.
Oh.
Like, I think they would get a compensatory pick for Jerod Johnson if Jerod Johnson became an offensive coordinator somewhere else. But you don't get him. You also don't go in if you just promote him.
Well, that's ridiculous. You should
honestly
give the Texans all the picks.
I kind of agree. Like,
yeah.
Isn't that logic backwards? The team that actually is giving them the opportunity doesn't get the pick, but the team who didn't give them the opportunity does.
Ooh, yeah, good point, Green.
I don't disagree with that.
The logic is flawed there.
Like it should work both ways. If they're hired elsewhere, or if they're promoted within the organization, you get a compensatory third-round pick.
I think more than anything, it's very sad that this is like what has to be done in a majority black league. Like this is this is how this is now incentivizing teams to hire coaches who are very similar to the players they're coaching. It's ridiculous, but hey, good old boys.
Yeah, that's a joke. It is a joke that they have to do such a thing. All right, 7 days. Seven more days, Paul.
Just a week, baby.
Opening day, a week from today. Our Astros opening day countdown continues next year on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save.